yesterday. If we win one today, that's two in a row. We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak. It has happened before.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, cause we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one. Yes, we're the Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one.
Hey, what is going on, Fins Nation? From my long hiatus, guess who is back? Jay Frog, your favorite amphibian, swimming in a pot of dolphins. I guess you can hear right away my voice is a little more chipper today. So before we even get started, because I got some stuff I want to get into, just again, big shout out, big thank you to everybody at FL Teams, flteams.com. It's your one-stop shop for all your Florida sports news needs. Go check them out. It's got great articles, lots of cool podcasts, just great content all over on continuing to grow daily. You know, speaking of growth, we do that with the help of our unbelievable partners like Symbol. Symbol, it's the stock market for sports. It allows you to trade sports teams like their stocks. You earn cash payouts when your team wins. And Symbol is basically blended sports and the stock market to offer you a new way to invest and profit off of your favorite teams. So you can use your sports knowledge, buy low, sell high, earn cash payouts when your team wins. You can join the already 6,000 plus early adopters, continues to grow daily, who have visited and have started to profit off of their sports knowledge. So go check out www.symbull.com. That's www.simbull.com. Or you can find the link on the FL Teams website. There's also an app that can be downloaded. Whenever you do create a free account, and you put in your first deposit, make sure that you put in the code FL Teams. FL Teams, that'll give you a $10 deposit bonus to help you build your portfolio. So absolutely go check those guys out. So I know somewhere along the line in these fins in the sea, I told you folks that I want to try to be different. I listen to a lot of podcasts or sports hosts or reporters, whoever they may be, and they want to change the narrative to fit whatever they want, no matter what. And I can't stand that, right? Just to change it for talking points. So I'm going to tell you what, at least for today, Jay Frog, he's here to dive on his sword. I'm here to dive on my sword. No more than 5 weeks ago, it became unwatchable to me. I couldn't see what was going on in Miami, and so depressing with all the talent. I still spend the time on Dolphins Twitter going around, and most of those times have been me spitting bitter venom about Chris Greer's horrible moves, the draft picks that we missed on, how do we draft these linemen that can't block anybody, and then debating the Tua stands, or as we've loved to call them now, Tuanon, about how he's not a franchise quarterback and what I see wrong and what I don't think he has the capability of doing. So after watching today's game, I want to come to you again. I'm going to dive on my sword because I'm going to tell you everything that I said Tua wasn't or couldn't be, he was today. Does that mean that he was, a week ago? No, I mean, the defense really stepped up and did that. And even today, we're not talking about perfect. That first interception really could have broken this whole game. You're looking at, a chance to go up two scores, and he throws an interception on our own side, and I'm not even really sure where it was going to or where it was trying to go to. So that wasn't good. you know, all day when the pressure was hitting Tua. There was so much backpedaling. He was backpedaling, moving further and further away and trying to throw off his back foot. Look, I'm not an NFL quarterback. None of us out there are, but we all understand from watching, you ain't going to get a lot of power on a throw going backwards. So there were some things. But the other stuff that I really saw was, you know, there was more leadership at the line. I saw him directing people and moving them around. And, you know, I saw the accuracy. I mean, there were a couple of throws that he literally just dropped in a bucket. Throws that flat out, that is an above average, right, quarterback throw. And, you know, maybe sometimes I'm blinded by the fact, again, that the guy hasn't even played seriously 16 games. So he hasn't had one season under his belt. Now, this was the Jets, okay? So not throwing a parade. They're bad. We shouldn't have been this close to the Jets. But a win is a win is a win. And something that I was super impressed with is that end of the third quarter into the beginning of the fourth. You know, when Tua on the drive goes down 8 for 8, right, and leads to the go-ahead touchdown, looked sharp all the way, right? And then it was just, it's so funny to watch them come through that. He had that stuff that I said he didn't have, that killer instinct. Do you want him to have the ball in his hands in the fourth quarter? All of those things he answered. You know, we've seen this earlier in the year. We saw it, you know, against a really bad Jaguars team where we couldn't do that and we couldn't close it out. You know, we've seen this against Atlanta when we couldn't close it out. But this was a different version. This was a different version of Tua. And it was interesting. But like I said, I'm man enough to stand up to say, you know, if I'm off base, I'm off base. I hope, and I've said all along, I really do hope that I'm in the wrong here. I really do. I hope he's the guy. You know, watching him step up in the pocket when he understood that and uncork that one for Mac Collins, he's got an arm to do it, to connect that way. You know, it's really, yeah. I mean, again, it was eye-opening for me. I think for me, this was Tua's best game, even with the horrible interception. But that's the kind of stuff that I think all of us need to resign ourselves to, and maybe I haven't, that just sometimes young quarterbacks are going to do that. You know, it happens. But if you notice, the more that we started getting drives together, the more we were also able to run the ball, right? I think we actually had over 100 yards rushing. I can't remember the last time that happened. The offense started clicking and motoring. And so, you know what? I'm here to say, at least for today, I couldn't be further off on Tua. At least for today, Tua stuck it up my fill in the blank. And that's okay, because you hear the happiness in my voice. I'm not bitter or angry. I'm happy about that. I hope he does it every time. You know, I every other time I talk about Tua, I kept saying, you know what I see in him is I see Kirk Cousins. Today, I saw a little bit of Russell Wilson. Now, I'm not going straight comparison, because at the end of the day, all we need and want him to be is Tua, right? We want him to be Tua. We don't want him to be Kirk Cousins or Russell Wilson or Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady. He's got to be his own quarterback. But you understand what I'm saying. The way he was functioning in the throws that he made were very reminiscent of that. And maybe because of the size. You know, when his pocket presence started working and he was moving the ball around. And this connection with Jaylen Waddle just keeps getting better and better. And Gesicki as well. I'm a little worried. You know, I mean, we need to try to get something worked out with Gesicki pretty quickly. You know, when you see the contract that Dallas Goedert just signed, the market's only going to go up. It's only going to go up from there. So, you know, that's a side note on that. But when you get those guys moving, and Tua today did a good job of throwing the ball in stride, you know, a couple of those Gesicki across the middle, how many did Gesicki not slow down a bit? He just had his hands put together perfectly, right in the area that he needed to be. Boom, and kept going, right? Caught it dead in stride, waist high. It was impressive to watch. And as that started happening, then the running game started working, right? Then you got a little more room for Gaskin, and he looked like he can move a little bit. You know, we didn't see much of him today, but I gotta give this much, man. Shout out to, you know, to Patrick Laird. Like, every time this guy gets in the game, if we have unsung heroes on the Dolphins offense, and I guarantee you, these two strike me as the kind of guy in practice that's like that kid that was on the team that maybe didn't have the most gifted athletic ability, but they worked so hard, man, and they did all the little things, and they just refused to give up and quit. Patrick Laird. Right, every time. The way he got that first down, he was tackled three times, should have been, before he stretched that to get us, you know, down to the one and get a first down on third. And Mac Hollins just does nothing but make plays, man. He just keeps making plays, and you can tell he's the heart. He's the first one there to celebrate. So it's fun watching that all come together. And Jalen Waddle, let's just be real, man. I the latest little thing I saw were people debating, oh, were we stupid to give up a first-round pick to move up to get him and look at Devon? Jalen Waddle is a stud, and he's only going to get better. Man, just the hands, the quickness, the speed. But with all of that, it's the route running. Watch the routes. He's crisp. He's so crisp on everything he does. It's only going to grow. And so, like I said, I'll follow my sword for the Tua thing, all right? And then as I get on that sword, if I get back up, I got one more I got to go on, right? Chris Greer. I think we've been tainted. We look at the offensive line, we see who's been drafted there, and that's automatically all we think of Greer. This is Chris Greer. This is what he did. Is he a good GM? Look at all the draft picks he missed on. Hey, open your eyes. Open your eyes. Because for every one of those that you can talk about that's a draft pick that he missed on, how about Brandon Jones? How about Brandon Jones coming around the corner and lighting up Flacco and creating a turnover? All right? That's class of 2020. How about Javon Holland walking down the busted coverage to keep it from being a touchdown with speed? Or better yet, let's put two of them together. How about Jalen Phillips coming around, rocking, and creating the jab and the stop, right? On a huge drive stopper. You know, after the go-ahead touchdown, right after that, he comes through and blasts the sack. Man, Holland, Waddle, Phillips, those three are class of 2021. I don't know about you, but the future looks bright with that. And yeah, the line still had problems today, and we'll see that they're low graded and they're everything else. But there's a reason. Nobody looked at those linemen when they were drafted and said that Miami stretched it. You know, all the analysts, the pundits, all that other stuff, they can look back now and say how bad it is. But I watched the draft just like you guys do. And nobody was like, oh, why did they do that? Who? Why are they going to pick him? You know, they got guys with pedigrees. I mean, you know, we give Liam Eichenberg a lot of slack, and maybe we should because of his numbers. They're not good. This kid wasn't playing at Southwest Louisiana State. He was a 4-year starter at Notre Dame. That's a big, big deal. Look at the other Notre Dame linemen who are in this league, the Zach Martins. Right? The other guys that are held down as being some of the best at their position. So wouldn't it venture to guess that maybe there's growth potential there and it's going to come? I don't know. You know, I love that the defense has been aggressive. I love that what's happened, and it's the cause and effect, right? Is we've got the corners, right? With X and with Byron. You get Brandon Jones, you get Javon Holland, now you got the safeties. We've got four guys that we could legit line up and go one-on-one, or you bring in the nickel or whatever you need to do, and then you bring them on blitzes. I mean, the way that Holland and Jones have been blitzing, it's amazing. They do it all. So that back end is so strong that you can blitz. You know, I think at one point they were saying on Flacco's dropbacks, it was like 60% of the dropbacks were blitzes. Bringing pressure from all angles, all sides. And you see what's happening with that. The defense is getting continually better because they're understanding it and working it and playing it together. So, again, I'm going to step back and say, yeah, probably overreaction on Greer. No, regardless of how you feel about it, look at the talent that's been brought in and the potential of what that's going to be. I'm guilty just like anyone else in living in a now culture. We all want a now culture. And I'm still horribly disappointed because year three was the year I thought we'd break through. And I'm going to stay very true to who I am. We're not making the playoffs. I can't see it happening. I'm going to watch every week and I'm going to root and I'm going to pull just as hard as anybody could do. But I just don't see it. And if we do, come on, we're going to get bounced pretty quickly. This is not a Super Bowl team. And that's okay, right? I mean, it's all right that we're not a Super Bowl team. There's a whole lot of teams in this league that aren't a Super Bowl team. But if we have the promise of young talent, then isn't that kind of a win? Isn't that a little bit more? I guess that's what I'll try to take away from this right now. I'm enjoying the ride. And the rest of the schedule, the rest of the way down is pretty soft. So, I mean, we could end up looking, you know, better on paper than maybe we really are. My one giant goal right now, and I stay true to that, is I just need us. I just need the greatest football team to finish with a better record than the San Francisco 49ers. That's petty, but I want to see that switch that we made benefit us. And that we actually get a higher draft pick than we would have had we had our own. That would be sweet, sweet redemption. The Niners are playing well. It's probably not going to happen. But a man can wish, right? So I love being back in here. If I don't have something to truly come out and say, I don't want to come on and just spout to spout. I don't want to push out something to create a narrative or an argument or a point to just go with that I don't feel has a meaning or a rhyme or a reason for what it is. So with that being said, that's why you're not really getting one every week. After the Ravens game, I was walking on clouds. But I'll leave you guys with this, and I think this is what re-energized me for this entire season. On a side personal note, I have a young son. He's 6 years old. And actually, the week of Houston, so 3 weeks ago, I'm in the Baltimore metro area, actually in Delaware, and we came across free tickets to a Ravens game, the Ravens in Minnesota. And I went there caring less about who was going to win, but it was my son's first football game. And these weren't great seats. They were free seats. It was nosebleeds. We might have been four rows from the top of the stadium. But I watched my six-year-old son for the first time watching professional football and talking to him and answering questions. And the smile on his face and the joy that he had, this game, that whole experience, brought him happiness. And I think maybe that was the reset I needed, is I had allowed these Dolphins and the NFL in general to affect my mood and seriously get to me, you know, the point of arguing for hours and making points left and right on Twitter with this and that. And, you know, it wasn't fun anymore, to the point where you guys heard me on a podcast saying, like, dude, I got to get out of this. It's not good for me anymore. It's not fun. But I watched him. And I watched the joy of what football could be and what it should be. And we walked out of that stadium, didn't even watch the Dolphins game that day, you know, just watching the ticker go by and see the score. It was Houston. I was hoping we were going to win. If we didn't win that one, then phew, the Titanic would have went down. But it was so much fun that it was like a reset to me, that I said, you know what, like, this should be fun. It shouldn't be the other way. And then the Thursday night game, I had my son with me. We were watching the Dolphins game and against the Ravens, and everything was going the Dolphins' way. Now, he's six. He has kindergarten. He had to go to bed before the game's over. But the next morning, as I woke him up to get him ready for school, the first words out of his mouth were, "Daddy, who won?" And I said, "Who do you think won? Of course Miami won," all confident. And he gave me his little Miami Dolphins fight song. Right? And again, man, that's what this is supposed to be. This is supposed to be a sport that brings us all together for the love of a team, a love of a player, to our escape to get away for a minute. I can't tell you how often I'm going to be doing this throughout the rest of the season. I'll tell you that over these last 3 weeks, maybe because of Dolphins wins, but I like to think because of a mindset change, football's been fun for me again. And, you know, I'll wrap that with, even with these wins, again, you will hear fans spout and you will also hear analysts spout because they have time to feel that, you know, oh yeah, they won, but. You know, I saw arguments after the Ravens game, like, but the defense won. This guy didn't win. Who cares? Stop and enjoy a great win on national television, a statement game, and live in that fun moment that you had. I've already seen people today on the Mac Hollins throw. Oh, Tua put everything he had into it, but Mac had to slow down and go back to catch. It was a 60-some yard touchdown. What are we, Siskel and Ebert? It's time to stop critiquing it to the point that we're tearing it apart and enjoy it for what it was. Hopefully, maybe I hope I'm the only one that's been going through this because it's not fun. But if you're one of those fans like me that have been a little bit miserable with all of this and you've let it affect too much, take a little break. Take a breath. Remember what brought you to football. Remember what made you buy that jersey. Remember what made you get tickets to fly to South Florida. South Florida, that's easy. Hey, how about today, the MetLife takeover? It sounded like a home game for the Dolphins. If that's not a strong fan base and you're not proud to be a part of that, man, I don't know who you are. It's unbelievable to travel. Yeah, going to South Florida is fun. Nobody wants to go to New Jersey. Trust me, I live right beside it. But Finn's fans showed up in a big way. So this fan base is passionate, I know. Enjoy the wins. Let the losses go. Stop having expectations. Expectations are only going to let you down. It's 1 week at a time. I promise you that's how Flo and the guys are going. So, been a pleasure being back. I hope everyone has a wonderful holiday. Thanksgiving coming up. Enjoy 3 games on that, right? Enjoy your family. Be thankful about all the number of things that you can be. And for right now, it works out for us that we can also be thankful. That we've won 3 games. That the attitude's changing in there. We can be thankful that the young players are progressing. We can be thankful that Tua shows those signs. We can be thankful that these young safeties are ridiculous. So everyone, have a great holiday. Again, this is your buddy Jay Frog. I appreciate you standing in and spending some time. I went a little long because I've been away for a little while. Feel free, hit me up if you'd love to on Twitter. It's jfrog817. Love to talk and interact. And so until then, fins up, nation.